Welcome back, guys. DG Esslin, KMOX. Time to talk to our pal Rick Horton. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm great, Dave. How about you?
So I've got some especially stupid Dave questions today. Do you mind?
You know what? After a tough loss yesterday, I prefer especially stupid Dave questions.
Yeah.
In fact, I woke up thinking about, can I get some especially stupid Dave questions? And it looks like my dream has come true.
Yeah, we'll get to the bad game, but I had some. Well, it depends. You can take your time with these.
Okay.
So the first one is more of a statement than a question, but someone give Pop Warner a glove. He almost got his head taken off last night.
No kidding.
Right?
Well, you know, that's not been too long. I'm going to say maybe 15 years maybe, where first and third base coaches never wore helmets. And then there was a minor league coach, actually had spent some time in the Cardinal organization, and he got hit in the head and unfortunately passed away on a line drive into minor leagues. Now, it was a poorly lit field, and it was, you know, different minor leagues, all that. But still, that caused baseball to change and say, we need to protect these guys. Guys are hitting it harder, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're having their back to the hitter also quite a bit. And so, you know, they're relying on the sound off the bat. If it sounds like it's coming my way, I duck. And that's kind of scary.
So this next one isn't the stupid one yet. I'll give you the warning for the dumb one.
I'll know it.
You'll trust me, you will. But I am interested, and I think every other fan is interested, having never played in the big leagues, when you get on base and you have your cordial little talk with the first baseman or the shortstop, is it just like, hey, how are the wife and kids? Or like, what typically do guys talk about?
Well, it's interesting. They enjoy meeting guys on other teams, and sometimes they've already had a relationship with them. And it may be college. It may be that they ran into each other in high school travel ball. And it may be Matthew Libertor was talking the other day about how he knew Bobby Witt Jr. He said, oh, yeah, we were teammates. It's like, wait a minute. How were they teammates? Well, they played, I believe, together in Arizona fall ball. But it could be winter ball. It could be spring training. You actually had a conversation with them. So I think guys enjoy kind of a normal conversation with players that they don't see very often. And, again, sometimes it's a guy you went to school with in college, perhaps. And so it's usually pleasantries, but then it's back to business.
Yeah, I like it. It humanizes
it. Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, honestly, we are way past the days where, you know, you'd get yelled at for having conversations. You know, guys used to say when you'd come in, if you were talking to a guy too long, you'd say, hey, take him to dinner. Not on the field. Take him to dinner.
Interesting.
That was the common refrain in the clubhouse, usually said with a scowl.
That's great. Okay, here's the dumb one. And this one is for Ricky and for Wheels. So I'm really into it and listening to the games, watching the games, and I have this weird habit, superstition of putting myself in the batter's box. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not Arenado, it's me, and so he's never going to hit it because I would never hit it. If you could take a pitching machine or a pitcher, and they throw the exact same pitch in the exact same spot to a guy like me or Wheeler, a normie who played baseball but we're certainly not a pro and we're past our prime, but it's in the same spot every time, and we can hit that ball 1,000 times in a row if we want. And then you take a pro, and you can throw him a sweeper, you can throw him junk, you can throw him anything. Who are you betting on to hit the ball?
Wheels, you want to go first, or you want me to?
I guess, what are we looking at for what we get, Dave? Are we getting 95? Are we getting 85?
Yeah,
you're getting normal
pitch.
Big league stuff. But your point is the changing of the varying pitches is what make it. And I would say the reality is big league hitters – I'll say I'm a normie too. I'm not sure what that means, but we'll call myself a normie, and all of us are normies. We got no chance. I mean, honestly, the chance would be to actually see it, frankly, because I mean, when you're talking about the same speed, so you, let's say it's 95 miles an hour, it looks like a pea coming at you. I mean, it doesn't look like a baseball, doesn't look like a beach ball. It looks like a pea, and you're kind of seeing body, arm, head, grunt, pitch, and he's like right next to you, and then where'd the ball go? I mean, honestly, it's hard to see a baseball. Now, pitching machine might be easier because it's coming from a spot that you can more clearly identify, but when it comes out of a pitcher's hand, they disguise it a little bit. It is so hard just to pick up a baseball. I took a pitch for a called strike three against a guy for the Pirates. I still had not seen that pitch. His name was John Smiley.
And
I'm standing there, and I hear pop in the catcher's glove, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I hope that wasn't my skull.
That one was coming from behind you, wasn't it? Wasn't he one of the big high three-quarter guys?
Yes, that's part of the problem. I couldn't get the angle. I could not see the ball out of his hand. So when guys talk about seeing the ball, Dave, I think that is a big thing in this game, is actually seeing it first. But your point is true, that if it's straighter, you got more of a chance of catching up to it. But honestly, these guys are so elite. It's actually fun to watch somebody who's never been close to a guy throwing at his best, just to see how nasty it is.
That is the best answer to a dumb question I've ever heard. I swear
it's
to God.
Not a dumb question.
It
no,
is
it's
a
not.
great
well, Dave,
answer.
Let me say this. It's an experience that we've had. So we used to do a thing at the Cardinal Fantasy Camp called, and you'll love this, so you think you can hit a big leaguer.
Yeah.
So this is right up the alley of your question. And we would have guys that just retired. I remember Randy Flores and Cal Eldred and Ryan Franklin pitching to fantasy campers. Now they're, 50, 55, 60, and they had no chance. And these guys are, probably throwing 75 to 80 probably at that time.
Yeah.
But they still, it's just impossible to pick it up.
Yeah. If you're facing someone that is pitching to you, you have no chance.
Yeah.
You might, now see, I would also differentiate this, because I've done this in the past with like field goal kicking, right? I've gone out and like Neil Rackers and Josh Brown, when Josh Brown was the Rams kicker, and I did some kicking with them. And yeah, I can make a field goal on an empty field with no pass rush and no timing and no pressure, right? Yeah. If you were saying just put a machine out there during batting practice, I think a lot of people could eventually get to hitting 85, 90, whatever. In a game when it matters, with runners on base and cameras going and that guy trying to throw you one fastball that runs in on your hands and another fastball that cuts away from you and a changeup and a slider, no chance.
I got to
say,
I made a putt on 18 today. I don't make if there's a gallery around the
18th. That's a great analogy, too. No, it's great. Yeah. You're right. Because the pressure of the environment was what makes it that much harder.
Yeah.
Now, it got me a couple of bucks for Brad Thompson. So
nice.
There was some pressure, but not what we're talking about.
I love it. I love it. So last night towards the end of the game, Wheels was just playing me again. John Rooney's call. John showed some emotion, which I love. As a fan, as a listener, I love to hear positive. I love to hear negative.
Yeah. Well, John cares about this team. He cares about the organization. He also cares about the people he's talking to. So he very much, and he's on that, and always has been since I've known him, which has been a lot of years now, since 1983, so you can do the math, a lot of years. And the idea, when somebody loves the game, you're going to feel that. And if it's just a guy doing voiceover for a baseball game, it's not voiceover. It is a broadcaster that's actually talking about all the ups and downs and roller coaster emotions that come with the game. So, he's spectacular at that. And yesterday was such a bummer, because we all thought it was going to be a great game. Started out so well, didn't end up that way.
No, obviously you had the home runs allowed by Sonny, which played into the Reds having their six-run outburst. I know that there was a lot more, not a lot more, but as much talk about the Cardinals' offense. I was stunned, Rick, at Jacob Junis being able to get seven outs on 21 pitches. That is almost impossible to do.
It is, but I feel like that was a good explanation for how the game felt so over by the time he came in. I mean, I barely remembered that he pitched, because it felt like the game happened in the second and third inning. The Cardinals had the bases loaded twice, or was it third and fourth? They had bases loaded twice and scored one run. They had seven base runners in two innings against a guy who had not been pitching well for the last five starts, and they let him off the hook. And once he got off the hook, and then a couple of home runs the next inning, it felt like the game was over. It really did. Now, it's not that the Cardinals couldn't have won, but it was such a momentum shift and such a downer, it felt like it was going to be a problem coming back.
How about tonight? I mean, obviously, need to bounce back. You know, Eric Fetty did a really nice job in his first start at Busch Stadium the other night. He got a tough assignment, though. I know he's not a lefty, but Hunter Green is pretty tough. And I'll be curious to see, I don't know if it's been posted yet, I don't think it has, the lineup the way it's going to look, but obviously Ollie has a couple of options with Jordan Walker back that they didn't have a couple days ago.
Yeah, and Jordan Walker is not in the lineup, as John Rooney handed it to me 13 seconds ago.
Nice.
So I can tell you he's not in the lineup, but Nolan Gorman is in the lineup. And Hunter Green is tough. I mean, he's got the – he was one of those can't-miss guys. I mean, I heard about Hunter Green when he was in high school. And as we all did, I think they were following baseball. He's a phenom-type player who's starting to come into his own really good the last month. So it's not going to be easy to get to him. Eric Fetty is – you know, we're still getting to know him. I'm going to ask Ollie about him a little bit in the manager's interview here coming up. And it'd be just like, what's he like? Because I think Cardinal fans are still getting to know him, but, you know, the numbers are good. The resume is good.
Yeah, he was really good the last time out. And, you know, we're trying to figure, too, Rick. I was doing some I know it's dangerous when a sports guy does math, but these next, like, 2.5 weeks are a really big deal because after this series, it's first-place teams. It's the Brewers. It's the Dodgers, the Yankees, Brewers again. Minnesota's in there. San Diego's been the hottest team in baseball for a month. It's getting tough. I mean, we're in that time, right? It's August. It's kind of the push to September.
26 of the next 28 games, which is maybe where you ended up with your math, are against teams that are actually in the playoffs as of right now.
Mm.
And the one team that's not is the team we're playing right now, the Cincinnati Reds, who are tricky to beat and, you know, division rivals and can throw a good game at you as they did yesterday. So, no, the next 30 days, and you know, it's going to be kind of make or break to see if you're going to be in this thing or not, and you're going to have to show that you can beat good teams day in and day out, or at least win series. I still think that's a thing.
Yep.
If the Cardinals can find a way to win this series in Cincinnati, then get a little momentum and kind of get that mindset going forward, that's enough probably to be the third wild card, but you have to win series.
All right, buddy. Have a great call. We appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 220. So we're asking for your messages. You simply go to the Odyssey app, to the KMOX page, and you'll see Listen Live. Then next to it, you'll see a microphone icon. Click on that, and you can leave us a 60-second message. You can tell us why you love the show. You can tell us why you hate the show. You can tell us that you agree with Amy on sports betting, or you agree with Wheeler on sports betting, or you can do what we're going to do now and give us an Ask DGS question. You can ask us anything, and we will answer it for you. And what do we have today?
This is from Eric.
Hey, DGS. This is Eric. Here's my question for your new segment. Which universe, fictional, of course, could you see yourself living in? Could be a movie or a book or a video game. You got Star Wars or The Lord of the Rings. And you got to remember to take into account like the living conditions and the foods that they eat and stuff like that. So, okay. Have a good one.
Good question.
Love that question.
I like it too. Want me to go first?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. I got to choose, man. I got a lot of them.
Two things jump to mind. The first one is Planet of the Apes. But I would be an ape.
Okay.
Okay.
Because the humans are screwed.
Yeah. You want to be on the winning
team. I was going to say, it doesn't end so well for the humans.
No, they're like two humans fighting back because they know karate. And the apes evidently do not know karate, so they can be taken down with a good chop to the old neck.
Uh-huh.
And then within the apes, you have the gorillas, who are the soldiers, kind of the brutes.
Muscle.
You have the chimpanzees, who are the thinkers, the scientists and such. And then you have the orangutans like Dr. Zaius, and they are the really smart ones and like the lawgivers and such. But I'd be a straight up gorilla. They had great uniforms and these really cool ass guns. Then the other one, if I'm being a little more realistic and serious, Star Trek The Next Generation, when you have the holodeck and you have the thing that makes all your food for you. Sure, yeah. You got to fight a Romulan now and then, but it looks like a pretty sweet life.
Okay, I have two as well. These are the two that popped into my head. The first of one is every time we come across a question like this, the first thing I think of is Futurama and New York. I think it's just because I love Futurama so much, but I want to live specifically like in that universe. They're just having fun all the time. They're having a good time. They're traveling through space. They have all these like modern
good
amenities.
One.
It's fun,
Simpsons
right?
Simpsons in the future. Yeah.
Right, exactly. The other one that I think of is Narnia. Because, duh, who doesn't want to walk through a wardrobe and suddenly you find yourself in a mystical land where animals can talk?
What if?
Yes.
In Narnia.
Uh-huh.
There was a gorilla who could speak.
That'd be cool.
Oh, my Lord.
And how also, about it?
I would name him Dave.
Sounds like a crossover movie
and
to
also
me.
Also, Bender was there.
Yeah, and Bender was there.
Bender was there, too.
This is turning into, like, a dream of mine. I'm like, and Dave was there, and he was a gorilla because he was from Planet of the Apes. Bender showed up as well.
Wheels?
Wow. There's so many. Obviously, I'd have to pick one as the Star Wars universe. I would have to be involved in that somehow. I don't know if I'm an Ewok or what.
Wheels is like, I have an obligation.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I have an I mean, that's lifelong, though. I mean, like, I'm OG when it comes to Star Wars. I saw the original one in the movie theater when I was a little kid. So.
Well, you know, the start of my stand-up in 1976, was it, when I went to the Wildy Theater with Mom and Dad, Jack and Francis, and saw Star Wars.
Yep.
And in the back seat as high as I've ever been in my life, and I'm like, kind of said to no one, man, I just wish I could live long enough to have a lightsaber. And my dad goes, well, why don't you wish in one hand and crap in the other and see what gets full first.
Wisdom.
I've never gone from that high to that low that quickly.
It would have to be that one. Probably the other one would be Middle Earth. Yeah. I'm sure I'm a dwarf.
You fit in pretty well.
I'm a dwarf. If I grew a beard, I'd be Gimli.
Mm.
Yeah, yours are very dangerous, Kevin.
That's fun.
A lot of I want to do some fighting.
Yeah, like the real world's not that.
Yeah, and there aren't many fictional universes that aren't dangerous.
Yeah, that's where you get all the adventure.
Yeah, you got one.
I wouldn't mind taking that yellow Hulk for a spin. I think I can make it pretty good.
I love the Hulk out every time I get
anxious. So anxious, though.
I think I could.
But that universe is dangerous as hell. You got Thanos and...
I get anxious and lash out already. I wouldn't mind turning giant about it. That'd be fun. No, I always think Pokemon because I love my little pets.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Like, yeah, that's not dangerous. All pets. They do is fight.
No, because you got a friend to protect you, and you engage here. If you immerse yourself in the world, Kevin, it's clear to see you can engage with that as much as you wish. Otherwise, you could just like hang out in the city and watch TV with your
buddy. So you're not one of the Pokemon.
No.
You're a wrangler.
I'd be a person.
Mario Land wouldn't be bad.
Me and Bulbasaur are getting fat on the couch or whatever.
Donkey Kong's always coming for you.
Oh, is he?
No, that's how Mario got started.
Mm.
That was a different guy. Well,
no.
The Donkey Kong was.
But I would be Sergeant Urko. I'd be an ape, so he would be fine with me.
What you want is Donkey Kong Country. That's where Dave wants to
be. Did I tell you about the dream I had the other night? Mm-hmm. I think I told you guys during lunch. Dreams are so weird. I had a dream that I was the attorney for King Kong, and he was, of course, fighting Godzilla because that's what they're going to do. And it was so realistic. I was in this business office, and I'm talking to Kong about his terms, and he was talking back to me like, I just want him to stop turning blue and, you know, throwing stuff out of his mouth at me. And so then all of a sudden, Godzilla was huge in the window, and we both started running. I know.
I'm picturing it's
you
like
have the
Kramer.
Best dreams.
I'm picturing it's like Kramer versus Kramer, like
right.
King Kong and Godzilla are having like a custody dispute.
Right. It's no, turning, we were having very
it's turning nasty.
Reasonable conversations about what our proposal to Godzilla was going to be.
Man.
Wait, King Kong was in the law office
yes.
with you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know
how it worked, but
yeah, your mind is powerful. It can make things happen. I was in a zombie thing last night. I had a super detailed zombie dream. Like, we were boarded up into a house, and, like, a bunch of family members and people were there.
How y'all
people
be having these
know.
Dreams?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I have a
I
dream.
I took out some zombies,
and it's,
man.
Like, exactly what happened at work that day. It's like, I was wearing a purple top instead of a white one, you know? Yeah, it's like, did that happen? I can't remember.
My dreams are always kind of weird like
that. I have dreams where I'm just trying to go to sleep in the dream, and then I wake up, and I'm like, doing good.
I get those when I'm sick. Like when you're at, like you have a fever or whatever, that's what I get. I get that. I'm trying to fall asleep.
What universe would you least like to be in?
Ooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Probably Star Wars. Everybody's,
Winnie the Pooh?
It would be the worst.
Why is that?
It's just so dull.
There's no metal.
And boring.
Nobody's wearing spooky clown
Everybody's
masks.
Like, ooh.
No, Star Wars sounds terrible. It's horrible. Oh, everybody's poor and everything's dirty.
Not in the wealthy planets.
There aren't any.
Coruscant's not a wealthy planet.
Coruscant's the dirtiest, most disgusting of them all.
Let's go,
that
nerd.
That is the meanest, dirtiest thing anyone's ever said.
So you're telling me that Coruscant isn't a wealthy planet? Yeah, because it's like...
I mean, it's both wealthy and dirty.
No, you can use the voice for him. Don't use the voice for me.
Kevin's
Sorry,
taking,
you're both
Kevin's
doing
taking
it.
No prisoners today.
I don't believe in prisoners.
Oh my god!
Fighting with Amy about sports bookies. Fighting with you about what is it? Coruscant.
Nerds. Coruscant.
Coruscant.
It's just the most important planet in Star Wars.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, this is Paul again for the DGS. Paul from Texas, that is. So it is just a thought. I know you guys have talked about simulation theory, and I've never really grabbed onto that one. But now, recently, with everything going on, I feel like we're in a reality series, a really bad one, and like everyone is faking it. From politicians to sportscasters to newscasters, it's like everyone is just playing up to something, and I don't believe that any of them believe any of the words coming out of their mouth. They're just trying to get where they need to go. I'm not sure if this has always been the case and we just haven't focused in on it or not, but it's just a ridiculous state of affairs. That's my two cents worth. Cheers. Bye.
I love that take.
That's a great take.
That's a really interesting take.
Yeah.
We live in a very inauthentic time.
We live in a performative world right now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what people are doing is, I say this all the time and people probably get sick of it, but it's engagement farming. All that matters is getting people to click on the tweet or to watch your TikTok video or whatever. It's entirely about getting attention. So people say whatever it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that he's right. It includes people at the top and in politics, too.
Think about it. To Paul's point, we've always had ratings in the media. And as I understand it, like with television, they'll have ratings week and sweeps week, and you can always tell because they're running the salacious stories. We used to kid around with Dave Murray about it. Well, now it's all the time, 24/7. So they're always, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. But now we are being rated. It's like a Black Mirror episode that most people are out there in some way performing for someone else and trying to get likes just for their ego or for their pocketbook or OnlyFans or whatever it is. We've never lived in a more, I said inauthentic, but your word performative is a better word.
Oh, I think they're both together. I mean, they have to be performative. You tend to have to be somewhat inauthentic, right? Because if you're performing, it's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, like none of us walk around just performing our personalities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're performing, you're adding on, which is somewhat inauthentic, even if you're just exaggerating what you really are.
Yeah, and even like to your point on TikTok, because I do, in addition to child boxing, I get a lot of, you know, self-help and things like that. But even there, the person, even if they're a licensed clinical social worker or psychologist, psychiatrist, they are performing what they're telling you.
Yeah.
They're probably giving you their third take at their take, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I had a weird thought last night. Have you seen the ads for KMOV First Alert with Steve Templeton, where he's in the library and he's saying it's hot today? It's hot right now. It's hot right now. And I don't think they thought it all the way through, because he is showing up creepily whispering to women, it's hot right now. And I thought, that's really odd. You know, let Chambers do it. He's less threatening. But then I was thinking to myself, I get it why we're quiet in libraries, but I don't like it quiet in libraries. I don't like it quiet when I study. I never have. It was one of the real battles I had with Jack and Francis, is I would play the stereo while I was doing homework, and they would come in there and turn it off and say it's impossible to concentrate. And now studies show that there are at least certain people like me who need to multitask and need multiple stimuli at the same time to be able to focus in on one thing. And it's such a trope, because in the Steve Templeton ad, the lady's like, shh, you know, you better be quiet. It's kind of weird. They need study spaces where music's playing for some people.
I mean, you can
go to your house.
Yeah, you can go to a coffee shop for that.
Yeah, but what if I want to go to a library? What if I need to go to a library?
Headphones.
Why am I being discriminated against?
Well, if you can't be quiet at the library, where is a quiet place?
Your home?
Well,
back at you. Checkmate.
Oh, I feel so stupid.
So
right
burned.
Now. I feel like
burned. So burned.
Lock it up. Gonna get a lot of likes on that one.
We should post a clip and be like, Dave absolutely destroys
Rachel.
Trash library.
She tries to clap back but is unable.
That'll get all the clicks.
And like the thumbnail is like me sobbing.
And then Dave is like flexing at the top.
I like everything about all this. This is good.
We should just turn the DGS into
Dave Glover, the
farm.
Hero we need.
Putting Rachel once and for all in her place.
These childless cat ladies in their place.
Where she belongs. Owned by Dave Glover. Razor's Edge?
Okay, I'm going to present you guys with a choice. Would you rather talk about flights or would you rather talk about dress codes?
I like them both.
Let's talk about flights then.
No,
dress flights.
We couldn't talk about what you're supposed to wear on an airplane.
Let's go.
Hold on, let me make the sound.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's like a laboratory.
Milk. That'd be so funny if that was chocolate milk.
That was like a Foley. That was great.
I used to smoke a bubble pipe when I was little. There's a picture of it somewhere. I used to just go outside and sit outside and just like Popeye the Sailor smoke a bubble pipe.
I would smoke a bubble pipe now if I had one.
Yeah, right?
That sounds so pleasant.
They're very soothing.
Mm-hmm. Does that have tobacco? Is it just bubbles?
Oh, for the love of God,
Andrew.
Come
on, Andrew.
I don't know.
They were for small children.
I don't know. It's a different time.
Yeah, they were hash.
This is like when he asked if you were alive at the same time as Mark Twain.
Yes.
No, Andrew,
it's the real Mark Twain.
It's an opium pipe.
All right, let's talk about this American Airlines flight that made an emergency landing after passengers spotted lice running around in a woman's hair. In a video, a man describes the fact that he's on this flight. He looks around. No one's on the ground. No one's freaking out. But they're being told they have to make an emergency landing. So when they land, the woman across the aisle from him runs to the front of the plane. And it turns out that two passengers had spotted lice crawling out of a woman's hair, prompting them to alert the flight attendants.
Wow.
The flight attendants and the pilot and everyone made the decision, we need to make an emergency landing to separate this woman from the rest of the crowd. Am I crazy in saying, if I'm up in the air, if I'm on the flight, especially if we're in a couple hours in, come on. If you make me start over the flight, like, just let me ride with the lice. I'll be okay.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Finish the flight.
I don't want to stop. I don't think the lice are going to crawl into my... Just make her, like, sit in the bathroom or something. Or give her a shower cap or something.
Yeah. Somebody's got a shower cap somewhere.
But, I mean, would you want to land the plane if you saw a couple lice crawling out of a woman's hair?
I think if you landed and got lice, I think you might feel differently, right?
Well,
like, if you landed and then you were trying to go on your vacation, but you are now filled with lice...
I mean, not really filled with them. That's not how it worked. But.
You're overflowing with lice at this point, okay?
Yeah, they can only jump so far. It's usually from contact.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, so she would have to be like...
But if you were sitting next to her, you could 100% get it.
Yeah.
If she's in the front and you're in the back, I doubt those lice are going to make their way up
there.
So
if you're sitting next to her, do you want to turn around and go back, or you just, like, finish the flight?
But you've already been exposed to the lice.
I'm still, you know how I feel about flying, but I would probably take, if I'm next to her, I'm probably taking the landing.
Yeah, I think with most of these things that we hear about, you know, people have, like, an accident on the plane,
yeah.
Like a poo-poo accident or something. I'm like, just finish it out. Like, why am I going to stay in the air for another hour?
Power through.
Yeah,
ride it
and
out.
Then we're making an emergency landing, and I have a 12-hour wait until I get back.
We've had a poo-poo accident. Going to be landing in Fort Worth.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Yeah, I'm going to be like,
it's been a poo-poo
accident. Just push through.
Yeah, like, I want to keep going. I don't care about the poo-poo.
Yeah.
I poo-poo the poo-poo.
Would you? Even if it's poo-poo?
I mean, if
ladies
if
and
it's
gentlemen,
like,
we'll be taking a vote about the poo-poo, actually.
Yeah, that's what I think they should do. I think they should take everyone's opinion into account.
That's not a bad democratic way.
I mean, if you're already exposed to the smell and everything, it's like, let's just get this over with. Especially if you're flying over the ocean or something and they turn around. That is my worst nightmare. Mm. Ugh. No, absolutely not. But am I on an island here, people?
Nope, I'm there with
All right,
you.
Wheels is with
I feel
me.
Like, I feel
Tough
like
it
I,
out.
I feel like I overvalue or maybe underweigh inconvenience. Like, to me, inconvenience is almost at the top of the list of things I cannot take.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Like, don't turn
You'd rather have a parasite in your
I'd rather have lice than have to turn back around and then start all over again.
No, you wouldn't. You would? Like, if it were 100%, you're going to get lice?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, if it's like a 30-minute turnaround, no.
Yeah, that's different.
If it's like, yeah, we're going to land, your next flight's going to be in 10 hours, and you're going to get there tomorrow, I'm like, I'll take the list.
And that's what happened here. It was like a 12-hour flight. They gave them hotel vouchers. And I'm thinking, you've already been exposed.
Bugs. Yeah.
Ugh, come on. Ugh.
Hmm. Where did you land on this one?
I mean, I do. So if it is something like a, you know, a poo-poo accident. Like we have to say that now. I would say let's just spray some Febreze or something
there
and
you
just
go.
Try yeah. it, and just try to get through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that covers it.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got a whole plane with people that got like clothes in their bags, you know, give the person that had the boo-boo accident a new pair of pants and
you can't have my pants. I need them pants.
Yeah. Throw the pants out the plane
I'd donate
window or
some
whatever.
Pants.
How mad
yeah.
vault them out the
How
out
mad
the,
are you at the lice lady?
See, pretty mad.
Oh, pretty angry.
That's the tricky part, because when it becomes like a health issue, that one I'm not so sure about. Like parasites or diseases or whatever it might be. That one I don't know where I really fall.
Where would you fall if it's something like COVID?
I was just thinking that. So in 2024, let's say you're 2 hours into your mm-hmm. 6 hour flight and the person next to you reveals that they have COVID. At that point, don't you just tough it out? I mean, you've already been exposed.
Yeah. Still probably landing.
Really?
I've already been here 2 hours. If I'm getting it, I already got it.
Well, that would probably be taken out of your hands, too. I mean, if that person says, I have COVID, like, yeah, you've probably
been
exposed.
I mean, they have to have protocols for that. I wonder what the rules are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
because they don't test you anymore.
They don't.
Remember how they used to test before you got on planes?
So unless you're sitting there saying, like, hey, I actively have COVID,
yeah.
like, there probably actually is no protocol
Now, don't
whatsoever.
Have a poo-poo accident. I need to tell you something. Speaking of flying, there is a term with a dirty sounding name, but it's not in this case, called raw dogging, where you don't read anything, you don't look at a movie, you don't look at a newspaper, you don't have a magazine, you don't eat anything, you don't drink anything, you literally sit on the plane, even for flights that are like 5 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, and you just stare in front of you. The most you can do to effectively do this is to watch like the progress of the plane or the ads on the little screen in front of you, but you can't partake in any entertainment or food or drink. And here's the interesting angle to it, because we've been talking about this amongst ourselves now for a couple of weeks. People are beginning to complain about it.
Really?
That it's weirding them out and that they're afraid of the people who are doing it. And they're reporting like, hey, the guy in 19C, I think there's something wrong with him and he's just staring. Can you check on him? And it's become an issue.
That is really funny.
Isn't that interesting?
Because, I mean, why is it an issue to just sit quietly?
Right.
Other than it's like, what's wrong with you? Do something to occupy yourself. You're freaking everyone out.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. I would call somebody on them. That's weird. Just sit there and like stare straight forward. By hour like 7 of the 12-hour flight, I'm like, okay, is he alive? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on here?
That's what's happening.
His soul has left his body, and I want to know where his soul went.
I'm actually glad people are complaining about this, because for the longest time, I thought this was mostly just a joke,
mm-hmm.
like people doing a bit. Like,
they started that way.
Just broke my own personal record, just mm-hmm. did this flight, you know, this 7 hour flight and didn't go to the bathroom or anything the whole time. I thought people were just making it up and posting it, and I always thought it was very funny. But it is even more hilarious to me now that people are actually doing it and creeping people out
yeah.
on their flights.
Yeah.
This
also,
is amazing.
Mind your own damn business.
No, get yeah. a hobby. Read a book. Don't make it. You're weirding me out. Don't make it my problem.
Don't look at me.
If you want to, if you want to dissociate for 12 hours, don't make it my problem. Don't do it next to me.
Mom, he's looking at me.
I hate the fact that this guy is comfortable with himself.
Also, if the way that you want to pass time is going to the bathroom, that's its own problem. Read a book. Listen to some music.
But I want to gain the. I mean, it just gives you power. It helps you power up.
I think all those people are liars. I think all those people saying they're doing are lying.
You think they're looking for fake?
They're seeking clout. Look at me, I can do a thing.
Clout.
Yeah.
They are. Where do you see this other than on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter?
Yeah.
Does anybody talk about it in real life? Do you ever have somebody like, yeah, I had an 8 hour flight, man. I bulldozed right through that and did nothing.
Yeah, none of us want to say it.
I know, I'm not going to say it.
They all want me to call the air marshal on them.
The air marshal. I don't trust this
Wouldn't
person.
It'd be great if they had like a like a sheriff's hat and a little pin on there if they were the marshal.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to pick out who the air marshal is.
They really exist.
You're like Melissa McCarthy and Bridesmaids.
But like on every fight?
No, not every fight.
They're just like random. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Sir, the air marshal can't help you with this man staring straight forward because the air marshal.
I mean, what are you going to do? They can't make someone partake in entertainment.
Yeah. I just find it very odd that anyone is on a flight like staring at someone else going, they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything.
Would it weird you out if you'd never heard of this?
No.
If the guy next to you was just
wouldn't even notice it.
You wouldn't notice if the guy sitting next to you for 12 contiguous hours was glaring straight forward at the seat in front of him without moving. You wouldn't clock that. That wouldn't alert you at all. You'd have no warning signs. At no point would you go, that's a little odd. I wonder when he's going to move or do something. None of that would faze you. Is that what you expect?
Wheeler's
me to
the
believe?
One person I would believe on.
I mean, I put my headphones on, I close my eyes, and I just sit there. I don't give a crap what the person next to me doing.
If you're sleeping, that's different. That obviously doesn't count. You're not going to be aware of what's happening when you're sleeping, Kevin.
Well, right. So then if I'm doing that at least part of the time, why would my assumption be that while I was out, this guy was just standing there staring at the seat?
I love that they're arguing like Lincoln and Douglas.
I know.
You're telling me.
You, sir.
For 12 contiguous hours. I know that's not the right word.
Just don't have a poo-poo accident.
It's not the right word.
I think contiguous means like touching.
Yeah, yeah. I think you meant continuous.
Yeah, you're touching the guy next to you. I'm making it work.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.